Full moon, Zen master, one of the famous Zen teachers in Tang Dynasty in China, was asked by one of the Zen monks, where does Buddha appears? Umman, the master, says, Eastern mountains travel on the water. But this answer is so strange that we cannot understand its meaning. Where does Buddha appear? Umman Zen teacher says, Eastern mountains travel on the water. So let's see what the Buddha means. A Buddha is the person who can walk constantly under all circumstances, whether you are enlightened or deluded, whether the world is ugly or peaceful. In whatever situation you may be, the person called Buddha can constantly walk with all living beings. This is not a particular being. This is everyone can do this. Everyone can be this person. In other words, in your everyday life, how can you maintain your life day to day? There are two ways. In the realm of conceptualization, you can maintain your life. That is one point. Second point, can you maintain your life in the world beyond your conceptualization? You know, in other words, the world beyond conceptualization means you have to participate in certain situations directly before you decode reality. This is a point, okay? But usually, we believe and we fully believe that the world we live in day to day is real world. But strictly speaking, the world you believe is nothing but conceptualized. So, generally speaking, everyone lives in the world of conceptualizations instead of participating in directly the reality as it is. So that's why this is a problem for us. So Buddha is how can you live? How can you maintain your life under all circumstances, not under particular particular circumstances, or not for a certain period of time, wherever you may be, whatever situation you may be, you have to maintain life, okay, with all beings, because you cannot live alone. So this is a Buddha, okay? And also everyone become Buddha because everyone has this capability to live like this. In other words, in a deep sense, we have a very profound aspiration for living like this. Okay? That's why when you see some problem, you are really struggling for living. If you don't, you can stop living. But you cannot do it. It's not so simple. Even though intellectually you want to stop living, it's not so simple actually. Because in the bottom of your heart, you always have a deep aspiration for living like this, as a Buddha. So, then monk asked at this point, when, in other words, in whatever situation, in what the situation you can live as a Buddha? In other words, in what the situation does Buddha appears in your everyday life? In other words, when can you maintain your life? In the world of conceptualization or something more than conceptualized world? So what situation? What is it? And then among Zen Master says that the eastern mountains travel on the water. And also Dogen Zenji mentions the scripture of the mountains and the water. This is a beautiful chapter. He mentions you should know the eastern mountains travel on the waters is the bones and marrow of the Buddhas and Zen adepts. So, even though we don't understand this message given by Umang, is the bones and marrow of the Buddhas and ancestors from day to day, from century after centuries. So let's see the meaning of the travels, the eastern mountains travel on the water. In common sense, we believe that water can travel. But we don't believe that the mountains or skies, clouds never travel on the water. In other words, mountains always sitting quietly instead of traveling on the water. In other words, bridge never move, but a water river is always moving. We believe this one. This is common, okay? But the woman, Zen Master says, eastern mountains travel on the water. This is very strange for us. But this is a very important point we have to take into account in your whole life. Okay? I said a little bit about this. So this point the few minutes ago. For instance, we always living in the world of conceptualization. Conceptualization is the word running through your head. Okay? It's very difficult to be free from functioning of your head. So automatically, immediately, the word appears running through your head. That is conscious word, we say. Okay? And then we believe. At that time, what happens? Do you know that? What happens? If the word appears running through your head, what happens? Please, speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Before touch, what do you attach? Why do you attach?
You want something or you don't want something.
Mm-hmm. But why do you feel in that way? For instance, if you see the word means a table and floors, books and your friends and the whatever it is, if you, the moment when you face this table, immediately table becomes what? Real world, we believe. This is a real world. I and you, all of you fully believe, don't you think so? But, strictly speaking, this real world is what? From where?
Huh? Your idea.
Yeah, the idea comes from where? Yes.
A later
version. It's exactly at the super speed. More than a computer. Very quick. So the moment when you see it, the moment, the immediately there is the desk conceptualized by you. So from this point, the desk conceptualized by you is what? Real desk? Real desk? Do you? No? What? Speak up. It is the real world? How many are there who say yes? Say yes, if you believe. No one? It's not real? Only one person says yes, okay? And the rest of you don't agree. It's not confused. See the reality through and through. At that time, how can you say this table? This is a real? No. But you can say no because it's here. So it seems to be real, but it's not real. It is real because it exists in front of you. So we say real. But actually it's not real, because it is already desk conceptualized by you, or it is something running through your head and appears right in front of you. So, yes or no? Completely yes or no? It's not confusion. If you really have clear eyes to see reality as it is, you can see it. Okay? And then, but still, real or not real, still conceptualization. Then you juggling. Okay? This is real. No, it is not real. And then we are arguing, discussing, constantly. This is a usual world we are interested in. Don't you think so? So all rejecting. So conference is fun for us. Christianity and Buddhism gather together and discuss about the Christian teaching and the Buddhist teaching, and which is better? Well, let's understand and let's shake a hand. But I don't know how much you can shake a hand deeply and create a peaceful world. I don't know. It is still questionable, because discussing is already something we are discussing with the head, constantly. What are you talking about? So finally, conference makes you really confused. But on the other hand, conference is fun because you can learn a lot from this. Then the people say, let's have a conference constantly. They endlessly you have to do it. And then finally, you don't know what you should believe. It always happens. Okay? So, from this point, mainly, where do you live? Are you participating in the exactly, absolutely real world? What's that? What kind of world are you participating in? You don't know? You don't know, huh? Pretty good. Silence is pretty good. That's great. Okay? I mentioned silence is pretty good because reality is perfectly silent. Nothing to say, because it is real and it is not real. So finally, where are you? What is the overall picture of the desk? Complete reality, we say, overall reality of the desk, including the topics, two topics. It's real or it's not real. But both come together and get into the overall picture of the desk, all are become one. So it becomes silent. Kind of, you put the lots of colors on the top and spin it. The all car become one. You understand? This is a reality, overall reality of this desk. Overall reality means including other beings, floors, airs, and all of you. That is overall picture of desk, not only the paying attention on the one being. Okay? So finally, we don't know. We don't know. So that silence is silence. You kept silent. You are speechless. You know, when you ask you, what kind of world are you participating in? So you say, yes, conceptualizational world. Or someone says, no, it's not. We are participating in not conceptual world. Whatever you say, it doesn't hit the mark. So finally, both becomes together and become silent. Then at that time, you can participate in real world of the desk. For instance, time. I always traveled with a jet airplane, small airplane, okay? A couple of days ago, I went to San Francisco, and everyone enjoys being in the jet airplane. And movies is going on the screen, and the drinking champagne and juice and reading magazines and chatting each other's wonderful world here, okay? And then when the movie starts, everyone watch the movie. Then when you become one with the exact movie, What's worth there? What's worth there? Do you? Can't you imagine? When you become one with them, watching the movie, exactly, before your head start to analyze, synthesize circumstances, you and the screens, whatever it is, you exactly become one with them, watching the movie. What kind of world occurs? Do you? Can't you imagine? What's world? Huh? Fantasy world, you can say, but something more than fantasy.
Oneness.
Oneness. Oneness is, in the world of oneness, there are many kinds of beings exist. Passengers, many passengers, and champagne, and whiskeys, and waters, and orange juice, and many beings exist simultaneously. But all beings come together into the movie. That's it. So time, exactly, all beings never be caught by the time. Because all beings exactly are with the time process. Do you understand? Then, a few moments after movie start, anyway, the airplane made a big noise. End of the airplane. Then everyone jumped. Do you understand? Why did they jump up? Do you? Why? Where are you? Huh? Beg your pardon? Broke the reality, or anyone else? Anyone else? Can't you say? Where are you when you jump up?
Conscious of yourself.
Huh?
Conscious of yourself.
Yes, conscious. You are conscious of yourself. Means your head start work. Mm-hmm. When your head start work, what word comes up? I mentioned dualistic word. Sorry, analyze, separate. So you are, basically you are always one with the time, okay? You are exactly one with the time. Otherwise you cannot be in the airplane. Regardless of whether your head works or not, you are basically right in the middle of time process. Okay? This is the overall picture of your life there. But, including your head, okay? And then, when something happens, you are jumped up, at that time, your head starts immediately and analyze between you and airplane, between you and time, means you already understand the time. In other words, time is conceptualized. Then you are there, you are exactly in the time process, but time you have understood is conceptualized, separate. That's why in the reality, big gap there. Then you're scared. That is automatic happening. But when you, that's why whatever kind of teaching you study in the Buddhism, I think even the emptiness and the dependent co-origination or Buddha or truth, whatever term you learn from the Buddhism, there are two things you have to pay attention to it, okay? Truth, for instance, the truth. If you see the truth in a word of the Buddhism at that time, you have to understand the truth conceptualized. In other words, worldly truth, okay? Dualistic truth. Do you understand? Dualistic truth means dualistic time. In other words, okay? But on that end, you have to understand real truth, absolute truth. In other words, absolute time. You have to participate in, and you have to participate in the absolute time with free realization, free awareness. And then that makes your life very stable. Okay? And then, even though whatever happens, airplanes move, they make the noise, and you jump it up, but you come back very quickly. Because you are a human being. I also jump it up. Mm-hmm. I can come back. You know, to the right now, right here. But I don't know when the airplane is going down to the ground. I don't know what's happening on me. There is no guarantee. Okay? Maybe I scream. Maybe I say help. Probably. I know who I am, so I scream, it is sure. But important point is not whether you should scream, you can scream or not. It is not important, okay? Day to day, you have to practice this one, okay? You have to understand the truth in a word, conceptualized truth, or conceptualized time, idea of time, and also the other one is absolute time. When you become absolute time means you become one, exactly. That is absolute time. And that time, that is temporal oneness. But that oneness is not one. One is all. Because airplanes and times and the birds and the champagnes and the magazines and all are there. In peace, in harmony. That's it. Then at that time, your other beings exactly become contents of your life. That's why you really settle down in the chair, peacefully or harmoniously, and read or watch the movie. You can do it. But if you separate, immediately something happens, scare. Mm-hmm. Or criticism, or competitions, conflicts, many things, dislike or like coming up. Okay? Happy or not happy is always happens. And then complete people are fully believe that happiness or unhappiness are real world. That is a problem. Okay? It's real, but it's not real. Don't you think so? You believe I am happy. Yes, I am happy. But I don't know I am happy. Because I cannot say I am totally happy. No. Because I am looking at myself in terms of my head. So immediately happiness and unhappiness can be seen. So I'm not satisfied. I don't feel satisfactory completely by the idea of happiness. Because I can see the unhappiness somewhere in my heart, in my mind, in my life, somewhere unhappiness. That's why if I see happiness, I want to hold it. Do you understand? If you're successful in doing business, you want to maintain the success. Okay? Why do you do this? Because you are scared. Not success. That's why constantly you do it. But I don't know it is really happiness or unhappiness. That's always question mark there. But beyond this, what you can do is, anyway, you have to really participate in absolute time process. Then this is called shikan, we call. Shikan means wholeheartedness. That's it. This is a one path. Everyone can walk. Whatever you do, whatever you believe, that's it. That's why the eastern mountains travel on the water. It's possible. It is true. Champagne travels in the airplane, jet airplane. Champagne travels in Karagi's life. Yes, it is. If I see Karagi in the jet airplane simultaneously, champagne there, and the orange juice there, and magazine there, and air and time process, many things with me. So, you cannot say magazine is a magazine fixed, as a fixed being separate from me. No. Magazine is exactly with me. That's why if I move, magazine moves. We can say so. The Dogen Zenji mentions, if you see the mountains, you should see the mountains moving, walking forever. Can't you believe? Because we always see the mountains conceptualized by your head, means mountain should be something fixed, sitting stable there. And then we believe, that's right, this is a mountain. And then someone says, no, mountain is moving on the river. Then you don't believe it. But when you become one, or when you participate in the oneness, time process, absolute oneness, exactly mountains are moving. Mountains are walking with you simultaneously. Because all beings are exactly contents of your life, supporting constantly. That's why this makes your life stable. But if you always understand the world in terms of conceptualization, you are always scared, restless there. Then the more you become restless, the more you become greedy for getting something, happiness or unhappiness, pros and cons, success, failure, constantly. Okay? But the more you do it, in the bottom of your heart, still there is really indefinable disconsolate there. That is called dukkha, they say. Suffering. It's really deep suffering there. Whatever you do. So one Buddhist teacher says, whatever you do, dukkha is dukkha. Buddhism developed in the United States, it's dukkha. You become happy, it's dukkha, yes? You become a really absolute teacher, absolute Buddhist teacher, it's dukkha. How can you be free from dukkha? It's very interesting practice for us. It's only one path. You can really participate in anyway, absolute time process. Okay, remember this one. Otherwise, you never travel to San Francisco. If you want to travel to San Francisco, you should participate in absolute time process. But actually, we don't do it. Always we participate in the conceptualized time, and then we believe this is a world. That's really creating lots of gap between reality and your life. Okay? So remember this one. The Buddhist teaching, whatever it is, Buddhist teaching always mentioning about this one. Talking about participation in absolute emptiness, absolute interdependent coordination. But we don't understand emptiness or interdependent co-origination because it's very abstract. We don't know. We have never experienced. That's why no matter how long, we say you should participate in absolute time. What is absolute time? We don't know. But actually you live in a absolute time process, or you are exactly present in absolute space. That's it. But we don't know what it is, because you have never experienced. That's why it's really far from us. Karagiri says, participating in the absolute time process, what is that? It's still far from us. In the Buddha, Dogen then mentions about the spirit of Zazen in the Bendowa. It's really far out. I read one and I chanted it many times, but still that contents how the Zazen spirit working in the world. It's kind of talking about wonderful orchestra, but still far out, far from us. We don't understand it. But remember, this is a point we have to participate in. Okay? So if you don't understand we should understand term, word, emptiness, truth, whatever it is. But it is not final goal. Understanding the word. Okay? So behind the word, what kind of total reality there? Okay? You should understand this. Understand it, and you should participate. How we can participate in. This is a Buddhist teaching, alright? So, this is a one path. Scan is only one path. Everyone can walk. If I say one path, that's you believe, that you argue that it is dogmatic. I don't think it is dogmatic. One path is universal, one path. Okay. So, because if you really see your life deeply through the Zen, gradually you will taste it. Okay. You have a question?
Last week you said from now that we would have to practice silence.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you say that?
Well, because silence is, I mentioned silence is seen from two angles. Do you remember? One is the silence is seen from human eyes. At that time, in the bottom of your life, there is constantly, the indefinable disconsolate there, sadness, dukkha there. But your life, that dukkha is beyond you like or dislike, completely. But in the bottom, there is a something, mourning. Okay? Mourning is beyond like or dislike. Okay? But do you understand mourning? You just, make a noise. Ooh, that's it. It's not pain exactly, but it's pain. But beyond the pain or not pain, it's mourning. That is a dukkha. In the deep sense, consciousness consciously or unconsciously. Okay. So if you see silence in terms of human eyes, you can be silenced. You can use the word simply as you can, and then that word comes from a silence. Then you exactly stop it, you know, right in front of the big paw driven into the ground, you know, so you can't move it. For instance, where the Dalai the Buddha appeared, and then Umman says the eastern mountains travels on the water, then immediately you don't know you are, because you are exactly impressed by it, because you are one with the silence. So no word. That no word, when you have a speechless, or when you are speechless, completely silence is seen in terms of whole universe, Buddha's eye. At that time, silence is not the silence conceptualized by you. Silence is totally achieving the continuity of total activities, moving between you and deer in the nature. Okay? So in the world of silence, true absolute silence, there is a communications, okay? Deers and you. So I say practice silence means that point. You should practice this. But you should train anyway. Your consciousness, your body, five scanners, anyway, train.
And why especially starting last week? Because you said from now, as if it was a special occasion.
Yeah, now it's special occasion. Yes, it is. Special occasion because you are, if you want to travel, okay? If you want to travel to the San Francisco or to the silence circle, destination is silence, okay? You should participate in the absolute process, time process. Silence is what? If silence is manifested in your life, it is described as a time space, simply speaking, okay? So if you want to reach the silence, you have to participate in real absolute time process. Okay? Otherwise, what do you mean? It is moment after moment is a special for you. So when you sit down in your seat of airplanes, that is your particular place. Particular place and time. You can experience silence. So that's why we practice it. So, but the opportunity is open to everyone. Everywhere, every aspect of your life, it's an opportunity given to you. Practice silence. Practice silence is not to keep your mouth shut. No, I don't mean this one. Okay? You never keep your mouth shut. You know, because you are always making a noise of chattering, okay? Silence never come up from the noise of chatter, no. Noise of chatter is always spreading in the horizontal, constantly. If I chatter, then that's the next person, yeah, that's right. Start to chatter. I agree, or I don't like you, or I like you, always chattering, for the just like a water ripple or water ring, always going in horizontal. In horizontal? Mm-hmm. Horizontal. You never keep silent. But if you keep silent from the noise, still talking. But you think something? Never. Silence. The total silence is exactly from silence. That is the oneness, we say. After participating in the absolute time process, when you do gassho, you have to participate in absolute time of gassho itself. That is practice of silence, I mean. But before that, we want to know what gassho means and we start to discuss and talk. And so my lecture is nothing but noise for chatter. Okay? But I try to talk about something more than noise behind the words. I try. But I don't know. Still noise. So after my talk, I always become disappointed because I want to be quiet. But you don't allow me to be quiet, so you constantly ask me to talk and it's wherever I may be. I have never to have a total vacation. Wherever I may go, always people ask me to see or to do something without in itself. I want to be one. I want to be alone sometimes. But this is a very good lesson for me. Any other question?
Appreciate your remarks, but what's the lesson? And you just said, nobody leaves you alone, blah, blah, blah. So why? What is it you learn from that experience?
Yeah, that's why Baba Ba, behind the Baba Ba, there are nothing to say. Silence. So that is, that's why lesson for me, it means to learn that silence behind the Baba Ba. Do you understand? Very deeply, very deeply. For many years, for 24 years, I always talking blah blah blah, you know, about the Buddha's teaching, but I don't satisfy. I have never felt satisfactory from my talk. No, just like a painter. Painter always painting as a masterpiece, but he or she never satisfied. Do you understand? The more you are serious, the more you realize it.